Nigeria Inc. Very lovely morning to you, Lagos and beyond, wherever you are listening to the show from. We want to bid you welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. It's called The Morning Crossfire, and we're live from our audio visual studios here on Etimiyan Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I am Sheriff Quadri. Yesterday, we started a conversation on ink security in Nigeria, and we asked a pertinent question. How did we get here? We also tried to talk about solutions and the rest of them. We had Andy Akpotive, a seasoned public affairs commentator, on the show yesterday. Today, we would continue in that trajectory to discuss the state of the nation, the insecurity situation that we found ourselves. There's no gainsaying that everybody can feel it. You can touch the tension. It's that palpable that everybody is circumspect right now as regards who they talk to, how they move, where they move, where they walk. Everything they do, everybody is watching their back. Should it be so? If it's so, how did we get here? And what could be the possible solution? Today, we'll be focusing on the way to get out of this absolute mess that we found ourselves. So you should know that it appears the issue of national security, without sounding like an alarmist, is getting from bad to worse, despite, you know, numerous assurances by Nigeria security forces that they are well positioned to contain the current wave of insecurity, the current wave of terrorism, the current wave of banditry, the threats of these activities making the rounds in Nigeria, not just in one part of the country. I mean, this morning alone, you heard the news of a mass kidnap somewhere in the south and the southeast. Nigerians are lamenting and asking, where exactly has the system gone wrong? Where exactly has the system failed them? How did we get to where we currently are right now? Is it that the nation's security has virtually collapsed? Let me bring some perspectives into this conversation by sharing some figures with you. Just this morning, The Punch put out some data. They're saying that at least 7,222 Nigerians have been killed and 3,823 abductions have taken place in the country, with 2,840 incidents of insecurity between January 1st and July 29th, 2022. Also, according to The Punch, no fewer than 1,499 people were injured during the various attacks witnessed in about 505 local government areas in the country. When you have attacks happening in half of your entire local government, then it's not just an attack, it's a big issue. 505 local government areas in the country witnessed attacks between January 1st and July 29th. That's 4 days ago. In the entire country, 505 local government, 774. Now, as contained in the data obtained from the Nigeria Security Incidents Tracker by Beacon Consulting on Sunday, as of July 29, 441 Nigerians have so far been abducted, 504 killed, 308 injured. If you break this down according to geopolitical zones, the Northeast recorded 774 incidents in which 2,052 individuals were killed in the Northeast, 344 kidnapped in the Northeast, at least those on record. Now, the distribution according to states shows that Borno has the highest cases of insecurity in the country, with a total of 527 incidents, which led to the death of about 1,800 individuals. About 246 or so were abducted. In Kaduna State, they have the second highest cases of insecurity in the country. 216 incidents they've recorded in this period, spread across 22 local government areas of the state. According to data in front of me, 790 people were killed and 1,137 people have been kidnapped. Now, let's come to the Southwest. Yesterday, we talked about what Aaron Okakanfo said, Ibagani Adams, about terrorists lurking in the forest of Osun, Oyo, Ogun states, even though Ogun state government aid has said that there were no terrorists in their forest. But IRS said that terrorists are in between Osu Forest and Ileife in Osun state. According to Are Onokakanfo Ibagani Adams, these terrorists are fully armed with various ammunition. They are presently in the forest between Abeokuta and Ibadan, planning to attack in the southwest. Recall that there was an intelligence report last week or thereabout of the plans by terrorists to launch major attack in the south. The Lagos state government also said something like they are fully ready. They are checking every inflow, every person that comes into town. That's left for you to believe if you want to. If you don't want to, that's also your decision to make. But I'm going to stop here at this juncture to start from the south. And I have an expert to talk to me about this. I'm talking about Barrister Wilson Esangbedo, who is the national president of the Association of Licensed Private Security Practitioners of Nigeria. He joins me via the telephone this morning. Barrister Wilson, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, good morning. The information you just read out is something that will worry every right-thinking citizen in the country.
Right.
But we need to actually look at what are we doing wrong. To be able to get a solution to our problem, we need to look at what are we not doing right.
Okay.
Now, when you look at Nigerians as a people, they are very patient. They rely a lot on the government to provide them with security. Of course, the major purpose of the existence of government all over the world
is
to provide security for its people.
That's right.
But then we also need to look at ourselves, you and I. What are we doing to support the government? It doesn't matter whether we voted for this government or not.
Okay.
It's the existence and survival of the country that matters. Most Nigerians are going about their normal duties as if it does not concern them. But basically, there's something that is lacking.
Okay.
And that's the will of the people. The people should do their own part and allow the government also to do their own part. A part that you and I are not doing well is we are not talking, we are not giving enough information. Most people, they just mind their business. They go about their normal work duties. They just want to earn a living. They see something going wrong in their neighborhood. They see undesirable elements talking. They see undesirable elements coming together. And they're not passing enough information. Of course, the few successes the government security agencies have recorded is because a few people are not towing that line. They're giving vital information. The government is saying that give us enough information so that we can solve some of the problems we have. These people that are causing problems for us, we have some of them in the forest, in the camps. That's where they coordinate their attacks. But a lot of these people are actually in our midst. They live with us. They move around.
You feel so?
And we're not giving enough information. I think that's part of the problem. As a people, we need to change our attitude.
Maybe we should cut the people some slack. Let's break it down, right? Okay. What should people watch out for? Because that's, like I said, we're trying to look for solutions now.
Yes.
What should people watch out for?
What should people watch out for?
Right.
We have people in our community now, when you see people hanging around doing nothing. Of course, when you see a stranger in your midst, someone that has no business being in your place, you recognize the person immediately. People are riding Okada all over the place in your community. They are not carrying anybody. They are moving around. It should bother the right.
What should someone do in that instance, Barrister Wilson? So you see someone riding Okada. Are you going to jump in front of the Okada? What are you going to do?
What I'm saying is that you see people that are behaving abnormally. Of course, it also has to do with education. People must know what to look out for. That is also key. And I've laid the first blame on the people. The second blame is also on the government.
No, before we go to the government, Barrister Wilson, I want us to be very clear, because the people we are addressing, about 1 million people, they are listening to this program right now, and they'd like for you to help them identify or tell them exactly what to look out for. You have said, you know, irrationally. How about those who you can't distinguish? They've blended in so well. Perhaps they've even been around for so long that you can barely tell the difference anymore. I mean, what are those key indicators that can help the citizen identify a potential threat?
Okay. Basically, when you have people looking around your neighborhood, not being engaged in any activity, just moving around, doing nothing, that should draw your attention to, what is this person doing in my neighborhood? Is he trying to get information about people around? Is he trying to find out which are the hard targets, which are the soft targets in a neighborhood? But people looking around doing nothing, that is the first sign.
Okay.
That you need to, you need to draw the attention of the government security agencies. If you have someone who is like the head of security in that community, you draw his attention. But those people, they have access to police control numbers, and they can call that information. And I've seen how that has been effective in the past, and the police can come right on time and do whatever arrest they want to
do.
So that is key.
Right.
Because basically, before any crime is committed, these criminal elements, they must do surveillance first.
Right.
And when they are doing surveillance, they must move around. Mm. They move around, they check. And what is people moving around, looking up and down? At times, they are with their phones. At times, they take photographs with their phones.
Mm.
And you see someone who is looking wretched coming out with a very expensive phone, that will put you on alert. You see a very magnificent office, and then you see a beggar in front begging for money, and from time to time he brings up a phone, an expensive phone, and you think it's not your business. That person actually is trying to gather information about that particular office complex, or that particular neighborhood, and that information is going somewhere else. Because before the criminals attack, if they don't have that information, that credible information, they will not attack. No criminal wants to attack and be repelled. They want to be sure when they attack, they are successful. Because all these people, some of them also have families that are looking up to them. What is happening is a business. It's a sophisticated business.
Right.
And they want to go into business and come back to enjoy the fruits of their labor. So to say.
Right. But Mr. Wilson, what is the role of the CDC the role of the CDC in communities, vigilantes, the role of PCRC, Police Community Relations Committee? I mean, what are the roles of these stakeholders?
Okay, let me start with the roles of the community development
committees. Yes.
A lot of members who belong to that CDA, many of them don't even pay their dues.
No.
And when they don't pay their dues, how are these people expected to?
That's the residents now.
Yes, they call it resident associations, or call it community development association, or call it landlord tenant association.
Right.
But it's an association that is developed within that community for one purpose only.
Yeah.
That is to secure the lives and properties of the residents in that community.
Primary purpose.
Many of us belong to that CDA. We don't attend meetings. We don't pay our dues. And then you discover that most of the efforts of that CDA are driven just by a few people that understand the implication of having that association.
Right.
You know, and because they are not able to raise enough funds, they are unable to bring in credible security of officers that can protect that community. For a situation whereby many of them understand the implication of having a credible community development association,
right,
they are well organized.
Mm.
Of course, we see in some areas in the country, we have had incidents of estates being attacked. Now, when there was an estate that was attacked in Abuja, I'm aware that some CDAs had meetings, and for the first time, the attendance was almost 100%.
After that attack.
The problem is you and I, really.
Hmm.
Many of us believe it will happen to us. And because of that, we go to sleep.
Hmm.
Like in my community where I live, I sounded a note of warning.
Okay.
That things are going wrong. And in Lagos, there's the fear that some estates can be attacked.
Hmm.
And we called for a meeting. Only the chairman of that estate and myself were the ones that were there.
Oh, my God.
Everybody went to sleep.
Just the
now,
two of you.
If they hear the next day an estate is attacked, they will call for an emergency meeting that everybody will be complete. That's part of our problem.
So, in other words, Barrister Wilson, you're saying that this is the time for residents to come together. This is that time.
They must come together. They must organize themselves. They must know themselves. They must also understand that they must be their neighbor's keeper. There are times a neighbor has been attacked, and the person who is not on good terms with him will say, thank God. God's judgment is already upon that person. This is not the time to do things like that. This is the time to be your neighbor's keeper. Because somebody can be attacked tomorrow, and then you that think that person has gotten the judgment, may you will also be your turn tomorrow. A lot of things are going wrong. But
right.
We are the people. What the process of organizing ourselves.
We'll come to the responsibility of the government in a moment, but let's quickly head to the telephone and hear from Lagos on the areas that we've touched thus far, because the conversation this morning is purely solution driven conversation, and we'd like for them to jump on this 0700 993 993 993, and for the female callers 01465 7190 is how you can join the conversation. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please.
Yes, I just want to make a comment. The man that just spoke now, well, he spoke well to some extent, but I am not too pleased with what he. You see, when you are doing community policing,
yes,
it's not all about money. It's not the money that works. It's your logistics. I lived in an area somewhere in Ikoko. It was really, really bad. We were being attacked by 22, as many as 22, 23, 24 men.
Wow.
We didn't take everybody in the community.
Okay.
So, yes, everybody, we come together on Saturday. We have meetings. And then...
So what do you do? What did you do? Quickly.
Whatever. Yeah, they just set them up, and you see some people in designer come, but that is not about it. You need people who are security conscious, who are experts. You bring them
right.
Do you understand?
Right.
Those are the kind of people that will anchor.
So what did you do to that situation that affected your own community, the robbery?
Yes, we had an ex-military man.
Okay.
Who we now brought in. We sat down on Saturdays. We have a day when the escorts of the community will come together, the expert, the association, the community will come together. And we have a day where everybody comes together. You understand? We don't limit it only to the people that will spend their money, will spend their money. The people who don't spend their money, will spend their body. You understand? We made it compulsory. When I say spend their body, you know what I mean?
I do. I completely understand.
You're running around.
Yeah.
You all have your rules to play.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And then, there were times we accosted people, criminals, and we took them to the police station. And the heat was turned back on the community. You know
who turned the heat back on the community?
The police. The police came back. Hey, why did you beat this man like this? Somebody that engaged the whole community in a fight in the bush in the night, and you are telling us why he was beaten. You understand what I'm saying? Things like that.
Okay.
And about a month later, 2 months later, you now see that guy walking freely in the bush. Don't you think that guy is going to reinforce and bring them back on, bring it back on the community?
Thank you so much for calling me the caller, because I was going to actually even speak to Barrister Wilson on that, you know, when he spoke about, you know, sharing information with the government. I was going to ask you, you know, in the event that, because people complain of reporting, you know, individuals, unscrupulous elements in the environment, and the next thing, these people are released back into the society in no time. But Barrister Wilson, please hold your thought. We're going to head out. Let's take this short break. When we return from this break, I would come back to you and we'll touch on communities giving information, and then what that information, what the government, what the police authority, how they handle such information, and the impact on crime fighting, basically. Let's head out now, Vice Wilson. Please stay on the line. Huh? Lagos, we'll be right back. Stay here with me. Don't go anywhere. We're looking at insecurity this morning. Solution-driven conversation. That's what we're focused on this morning. So stay. I'll be right back.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Thank you for staying tuned to our security conversation for today. Second time this week. We started with the first one on the first day of the month of August yesterday. We're continuing in that direction today as well, because like I said, it's a big conversation all across the country, across all media platforms. The conversation is going on. Even online, the conversation is going on. Up until late in the evening yesterday, we still had that conversation on Spaces, on Twitter yesterday. So yeah, the conversation is what Nigeria is talking about, what Nigeria is having right now. On Nigeria Info yesterday, you had it on Hard Facts, you had it on the newsroom. So it's the biggest conversation right now in the country. And I have doing justice to our topic this morning. A stakeholder in this space is the national president of Licensed Private Security Practitioners of Nigeria, Barrister Wilson Sangbedo. He joins us via the telephone. Barrister Wilson, thank you again for giving us your time this morning to discuss this vital issue. Barrister Wilson, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic. Because my lines are blinking, I'm sure quite a number of people, can connect with what you've said thus far. But let's talk about that concern raised by the caller, and you mentioned it as well, as to people playing their parts by giving information. More often than not, I hear people call me on the show and say that, they can't trust the police authority with the information that they give them. Sometimes they give information and these criminals get out and then they go on reprisal on the people that gave the information to them. Other times, the people that, went to go and give information were the people that would eventually be, held as, it's all sort of things in that space. What have you got to say to this, sir?
Basically, the way our judicial system works is you have to look at the provision of the law. Talking as a lawyer, everybody is regarded as innocent until the person is proved guilty. And there's a process of ensuring that people, criminals that have been caught, are adequately prosecuted.
Right.
But the challenge I've seen over the years, over my 34 years working experience, working as a lawyer and also working as a security professional, is that most of those cases that go to court, most of the accused persons are discharged and acquitted. And I'm not trying to blame the people for what really happened.
Yeah.
Because most of us don't really know what our role is. When a criminal comes to your house and unfortunately the criminal is unable to get access to you and that criminal is caught and the police are called in and that person is arrested and the person is charged to court, most times those same individuals that have been arrested are discharged and are acquitted. And part of the reason is because those that are supposed to come and actually give evidence, they shy away. They don't go to court. So I think it also has to do with education. Many of us don't know what our rules and responsibilities are.
How about the willingness of the authority to actually prosecute a case? Because that's also an allegation that's been out there.
No, that part also too. Don't also forget too that we also have lawyers, and lawyers also defend the criminals. And the way it works is the position of the law that before you can convict anybody, it has to be proof beyond reasonable doubt. Proof beyond reasonable doubt. So if there's an element of doubt, that so-called criminal that has been caught actually committing a crime on technical grounds. I think that happens so many times in court. On technical grounds,
technicalities. Right.
I said, how angry they are. Wondering, what's really going on here? Why should he go scot-free? But that's something else, you know? It's the justice system.
In other words, Barrister Wilson, in other words, let's put it in clear time so our people can understand.
Yeah.
When they report cases and the police come to take over the case, and the next moment they are seeing this individual walking on the streets, it doesn't mean that the police didn't prosecute the case. It could as well mean that the case went to court then on technical grounds, this person, because lack of enough evidence and the rest of it.
So it's also good to also understand how it works. I know of a particular individual. It happened several years ago. About 30 years ago, criminals went to his house.
Okay.
They tried to gain access. They called the police. The police promptly responded, and they were arrested. The matter was charged to court, Ikeja High Court. And the person had no time to go. Police kept on calling him. It's time for that. It was a prime witness in that case. He didn't go. And at the end of the day, the man was discharged. And acquitted. So who is to blame? Is it the police or is it I'm actually not here to support the government or to support the people. I'm not saying things the way they are. We have our own responsibility.
Right.
Let's play our own part.
Right.
And then let the government also do their own part. I'm not saying that the government is doing so well. That's not what I'm actually saying.
Right.
But let's do our own part. And then if the government is doing wrong, we say, these are areas where the government is not doing so well. But as citizens, we have certain roles to play. If criminals come, God forbid, they come to our house and they attack us, and the police are called, the matter is charged to court, and they call us to come to court.
Right.
Because we are the prime witness. It happened to us. We are supposed to give what they call direct evidence, and we are not there in court.
Let me, Barrister, what you're saying, we're going to, just so people know, let me add this to, so it can add some substance to our conversation, right? Yeah. You are a certified protection professional.
Yes.
And you said earlier that you've been working for over 30 years right now in security management, operation, and investigation.
Yes.
Because my next question would determine, you know, how people would take what we're about to tell them, which is, of course, self-protection. So in this period that we are right now, the tension is very high. How can an individual, you know, we've talked on community level, right?
Yes.
So how can an individual protect him or herself, whether the person goes through public transport or the person has a car, a private car? I mean, what are those things that these two classes of people can watch out for to protect themselves when they're commuting or when they're at home?
Well, the question you're asking is a very, very important question. Now, if you are moving from point A to point B, that means you are actually moving. And once you are moving, you stand the risk of being attacked. It's worse at night. So the first tip I would like to give our people is, as much as possible, avoid moving around once it's dark. And then the second thing too is, if you are driving, also note the gray areas. They are what you call dark spots. You must know where the dark spots are. Between Ojota and K2, no, between K2, between Ojota and K2, and between K2 and my 12. I mean, that's my route when I'm going home. I avoid those routes once it's dark.
Once it's dark.
Yes. I've been attacked so many times on that route, so I avoid it.
Okay.
You know, so the thing is, you must know the dark spots. If you don't know the dark spots, you will be attacked. You know, it's not as if someone from your village is after you, know, because you are not doing what is right. So the first thing is, once you are able to identify a particular risk, you avoid the risk. Once you can avoid the risk, that thing will not befall. It will befall someone else. Mm. And the other problem many of us also have is at night. Someone will call you and you pick your call. Once you pick your call, the light will show on your phone.
Mm.
I've been attacked that way about once or twice. So once you are calling me at night, I'm in the car, I will not pick your call.
Mm.
You know, at times, experience is the best teacher. Once you pick your call, people may not even just want to rob you. They will just want money from me. That happened to me once, not too long ago.
Mm.
I picked my call, and before I knew it, I was surrounded by four boys. My driver was with me in the car.
Mm.
All they wanted was just money. They said they wanted money. They were knocking me, using a small stones to knock the windows of my vehicle.
Mm.
And I had to go to the front. And they said, I wanted. And he just wanted money. I said, how much? He just wanted something.
Hmm.
I gave them $1,000 and he said it was not enough. I gave them $2,000 and he said it was not enough. I said, this is the last money I have, $3,000. They left and they went. These are people, they were either hungry, they were either frustrated, or they just wanted enough wanted money just for drugs. So you must understand your area. You must understand your community. If I'm moving from one, and most of us still just believe that once you are in a BRT bus, you are safe. The incident that happened with that young girl who entered the BRT bus shows that you have to be careful.
Mm.
Self-awareness is the key.
Mm.
You know your surroundings. And then what we always advise people is if you must enter a vehicle, go to a park to enter a vehicle. But you see, once you are on the road at the bus stop, now the vehicle that comes, how are you sure that vehicle, those that are inside that vehicle are honest people? They could just be criminals.
Mm.
At times you look inside the vehicle, you may see women, you may see children. That is no indication that the people there are honest people. It could just be a setup. Right. Many years ago, when I was much younger, about 30 years ago, I had a problem with my vehicle and I was going home. I was living in the Ogba area with my briefcase. Those early days, you know, when you are just fresh from
school,
you have your briefcase. Flying briefcase anywhere you go, but I don't do that anymore.
Hmm.
Because having a flying briefcase attracts people.
Hmm.
I got to the bus stop, and they were calling exactly where I was going to, and I found that strange. From Jibo bus stop, they are calling Ogba Street. And then I stood, they were asking me to come. And it occurred to me that they were just there just for me alone. And then other people wanted to enter the vehicle, they pushed them out, and they just drove off, you know. So one has to be very careful.
Right.
It's always better if you are going to take transport, just go to a park.
Hmm.
But anytime you enter from the road, there's a likelihood. Likelihood.
You stand a greater risk.
50% chance, 50% chance.
Right.
That you will just be entering the wrong vehicle.
Hmm. Indeed. Let's take some calls before we come to the role of the government. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are the telephone lines that we're working with. Let's take this one here. Good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
This is John calling.
Talk to me.
I'm here this morning to blame the government 80%.
Okay.
And the people 10%, the security 10%. Why I said so, when my house was attacked, that immediately those people left, we went to the police station.
Right.
We report.
Right.
And those guys, we are seeing that area, they robbed more than 10 houses that day.
Mm.
So those police said there is no fuel in their vehicle.
Mm.
Who will you blame for that? Is it not the police?
Mm.
And when people are coming inside all town, like entering this long truck with all this cow, who will you blame for that? Is it not police? The thing the government supposed to put, they are not doing it. So we are not the first people to blame. Thank you too
For calling. Let's speak to Uche. Hi, good morning to you.
Hey, my man, I greet you, Sheriff.
I salute you.
Now, very quickly, I was listening when you started this program, but at a point, I got a little bit disenchanted with the opinion of your guest when he said the people are to blame. Now, look, Sheriff, anywhere in the world, leadership is key. Leadership is the most vital tool, whether it's security, whether it's welfare, anything you talk about. It is the sense of direction that you give to a people that your people will key into. Now, what do you say in a situation like this now? Take, for instance, Sheriff. Mm-hmm. We hear that Lagos may be attacked. Mm-hmm. What do you expect us to do as citizens? What is our role? Has the government come out to make any stand to say, look, my people, this is the situation. This is what we are doing. Has anybody come out to say that? Nothing. At that point, how do you blame the citizens? How do you blame the people? Look at what has been going on in all parts of the country. What has the government done to tell you that, look, these people are on top of the situation? And if you connect the different dots,
right,
mark my word, Sherry,
right,
if you connect the different dots, mm-hmm, it points to complicity. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about?
Mm.
So I disagree with your,
all right,
with your guest.
All right, Duche. Thank you. Morning to you too. Thanks for calling me. All right, so Wilson, you like to respond? Right, so Wilson.
Yes, please. I want to say something, basically.
Yes, please.
I'm not saying that we don't have problem with leadership. I'm not saying that we don't have problem with the government. I'm just trying to, what I'm saying, basically, is we need to look at the problems from two sides. And don't forget, I started with the people. And I said we have roles and responsibilities. Of course, the government of the day also have rules and responsibilities. Now, you ask yourself this question. How do leaders come in? Leaders come in because the people vote them in. Now, the next question you ask yourself is, what if the election was rigged and a set of people came in that have no business being in government? But, of course, the people also have a big role to play. Now, there's this campaign going on that everybody should get their PVCs so that you can bring in the government of your choice. And I believe at the end of the day, if more people come out and take more interest in electing who their leaders are, the connection between leadership and the people will definitely improve.
Right.
I started out by saying that we have certain roles we must play. Of course, the government also has certain roles.
Let's talk about the roles of the government quickly.
Okay, let's talk about, because I think that's what people actually want to hear. The government, the primary reason why the government of any country exists is to protect its people.
True that.
That's the primary responsibility of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at what is happening at this point in time, it will appear as if things are getting out of hand. And the average Nigerian is worried. And between now and the forthcoming elections, if you ask me whether it's going to get better, I can't give you that answer whether it's going to get better.
Okay.
Because
okay,
you know that when elections come, we have, in the past, I don't know if it's going to happen now, we have a lot of people that are determined to get to certain positions at all costs. And we have a lot of arms already in our midst.
Right.
And we have a lot of youngsters who unfortunately are ready to be used as pawn in the hands of people who want power at all costs. So we are likely going to have more crime. And then also look at the nature of our border. You need to actually go and move around our borders all over the country and see how porous it is. It is something we should have tackled many years ago, not even now.
Yeah.
But what it is, the solution we have right now is we have the criminal elements in our midst. They live with us. They move with us. They actually live with us. And then when you are fighting that kind of war, it's more difficult.
Right.
When you have the bandits already living with you, you had an opportunity as a government to prevent these people from entering. You did not do that. Now they're already in your midst.
Mm.
And that's what I'm saying. Now that they are already with us, they move around with us. We need the people to be able to fish out these people.
Hmm.
Of course, the government had that primary role of ensuring that they don't enter.
Hmm.
But unfortunately, they were unable to discharge that responsibility to the people.
Hmm.
But now they're already with us.
That's government's failure.
I said, the people, they must show more awareness. They must show... They must come back with more information that can actually assist the government in fishing out these elements that are already with us.
Mm.
Of course, we also have these criminal elements in the forest. We had the Arakankan of Yoruba land talking that they are already in the forest.
Right.
And that is where we expect the government to mobilize.
Mm.
We have the Vigilante Group of Nigeria. We have the Hunters Council.
Yeah.
Now, what are these group of people doing now? Instead of going to work with government and going into the forest to fish out these people, what are they doing?
Right, so we're saying, let's leave it here because of time. I mean, I must appreciate you for answering our call and turning to some of these nagging questions. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's greatly appreciated. Bryce Wilson Esangbedo is a certified protection professional, CPP, and he's also the national president of Licensed Private Security Practitioners of Nigeria. He joined us via the telephone this morning to talk about solutions to this security or insecurity issues that we have in the country. And many thanks to you for joining the show today. I really indeed appreciate your time. I know you have loads and loads of questions, but Jimidisu will be in here after this show to continue from where we have stopped this morning. Almost the same trajectory, solution-driven conversation, basically. But before I go, I need to share an information with you. You know that you have a show on Saturday and called Relationship 360 by Onyechi Ekumankama and, of course, Olumide. Well, Olumide is continuing in the good works that he does, and that is, giving the platform for singles to meet. They do their due diligence, of course. They have their guidelines. But what I can tell you is if you're interested, if you're single, 30 years and above, single father, single mother, or it's just basically just single individual and you like to be a part of this program, please call this line, 0909-321-4942. I'll take that again, 0909-321-4942. If you'd like to know more, then listen to Relationship 360 Saturday, 7 a.m. Olumide will share some more information. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Find me on Instagram at Sheriff Quadri. On Twitter at Sheriff Quadri. My Facebook page is Sheriff Quadri. Daily Digest with Jimidisu is next. Good morning to you.
Itel TV, it's time to enjoy better life.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea attacking with so much fluidity. Now what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not